Hello, this is the Tribe Stories, the curated sermons, conversations, and collections of poetry of the Tribe Lagos. May this refresh and revive you as you listen.
So guys, you know, we are on a theme, and usually we try not to do a theme in church because we feel like the whole scripture is for us. Every benefit is for us. But I think that every once in a while you can highlight something because he allows for people to anchor. Right, in as much as we have every good thing that the Father has freely given to us, the idea to say this year we want to focus on how we can experience that flourishing life that has been promised to us. So if you check John 15 verses 4 to 5, that's one of our plank scripture for the year flourish. John 15, Edda, can you give us? Okay, it's not showing. All right, so I'll read first. Chad, you want to get, who has the mic? So I read from Psalms 1 verse 3. TPT says, his passion is to remain true to the word of I am. Now talking about those who identify fully with God and they are planted by the rivers of water and they are planted in God. So the way it works is that when you're planted in God, this is the declaration that as you meditate on his word day and night, on the true revelation of light, he will be standing firm like a flourishing tree. So what we think about is that flourish, which is the word we're anchoring on, is not a goal to pursue. Flourishing is simply an outcome of an alignment. So it's a consequence. So you don't achieve flourishing, you flourish. Right? So that's the first thing first. Whether you want to see the life of flourish expressed in your business or your career, it's not about something you actually do. It's something about that comes out of you. So if we look at the scripture in John, John gives us another picture. John 15 verse 4. John 15, 4 to 5. It says, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you leave your life intimately joined to mine. I'm the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you, right? So we see that picture again. Fruitfulness will stream from within you as a consequence of your abiding, of your being planted and your anchoring in God. So you and I cannot have a low view of the scripture this year. We cannot not navigate life with the word. For as you anchor and dwell on the word and possess that word, all that you need in your life will become. So there is one thing in 10 things you seek, the other 9 will fall in place, is the word. Having a revelation of that word allows for you to come into the reality of that word. So last week we spoke about something. So we have a curriculum for flourish. Like every dimension, you enter with a curriculum. You know, dimension is a lot. So, but this year we started by understanding the concept of self-concept. And the way that self-concept plays out is, if you are here, there is a way you perceive yourself. There is a way you believe, there's some things you believe about yourself. There's some things you think about yourself, and there's a way you feel about yourself. Those three things, what you believe, how you feel, and what you think, is actually very, very important in your life, because contrary or even leave out what God actually said concerning you, if you're not anchoring your self-concept on what God is declaring concerning you, your self-concept is even more powerful. So God can actually say, I'm healed. But in your self-concept, there is a belief that that there is a terminal illness in your family and it might come to you. Do you know, I've seen somebody she did all the things right. You understand? And she still had cancer at 42. And she said, I did everything right. She started dieting from 28 when they discovered it in her mother. But the reality is that even while she's a child of God and God has taken cancer because you carry the bloodline of Jesus, but somewhere in her belief subsystem or subconscious, there is a fear that this thing might come. Or everything she's doing, she was doing it to avoid cancer. So in a sense, your self-concept, you know, it's almost like when you say, I don't want to be poor. It's not a very strong concept. Just statement, I don't want to be poor. So long as you have poor there, it's almost like your subconscious does not recognize that the poor is a negative poor. It's a positive light of poor. You understand? And then Keke comes in the place of Lambo. You understand? Like we said last time. So the reality is that don't settle for you have to understand that there's a language for the life of God that is in you. Don't settle for, I don't want to be poor. There's a better word, say, I want to see well. I'm an expression of wealth. So if we dive in again and you say something like, I am the, you know, we always say that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Do we have you here? Sinner saved by grace. Yeah. But you know, some people are still there. And then we have all those hymns. Oh, sinner. I don't know where this one is. But at the end of the day, if you identify fully as a sinner saved by grace, guess where you're going to find a crisis? you're going to see that pattern come into your reality. You're always going to say, "Now, so we be when they journey, when they journey." Yes, when they journey, but that journey is slow for you. You understand? At the end of the day, it's not about being on a journey. It's that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that language is more superior. In as much as a sinner saved by grace is not necessarily wrong, right? But it's no longer the deeper truth of your being. So we actually now declare that there are two things. There is the way of your being, and there is the truth of your being. The way of your being is the way you were raised by culture to feel, to think, and to believe. And the truth of your being is Christ. So that everything that is true about Christ and true about God is true of you. So now, guys, I want us to take that conversation about the self-concept into another dimension, which is that even in 21st century now, there is a very high sense of what you call mental health crisis. And I think it started before COVID was here, but COVID just made it even worse because people thought they were going to die, right? And COVID actually shifted the world. So you look at COVID, after we're recovering from COVID, then the stock market started to go down. There was the fall of the Bitcoin market. There was the fall of, then of course, some people went to war. We just got out of COVID. Everybody was trying to get used to the world. Russia went to invade Ukraine. And we started seeing bombardment, like you now start seeing debt again. And you're trying to just declutter your mind. And then Gaza started and you're thinking, how much more? So it's almost like the world is almost in a state of perennial crisis. But Paul actually said, when he was writing to James, in James 1 verse 2, he said that we rejoice even in tribulation because it reveals joy. So what the Bible actually said that when you go through times of crisis, it's not your opportunity to cave in, it's your opportunity to discover deeper levels of joy. So what is mental health, right? Mental health is simply just the way your emotional life, your concept of being, how you consistently feel about yourself. So it's very much a soul stuff, right? Remember the scripture says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as what your soul prosper. Say, my soul prosper. So guys, I'm going to get a little theoretical for a second. So don't lose me, or may I not lose you. But I want to lay a foundation so that we can build from there. So when the Bible actually said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If you go to Ephesians 1, the Bible actually said, for God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So actually, you now start seeing that there's a word there. Spirit and soul are reoccurring over and over again. And if I ask you what's the difference between spirit and soul, anyone? Have your spirit met your soul? What's the difference between spirit and soul? So guys, the fundamental thing here is the scripture draws a demarcation between the spirit and the soul. Actually, if you remember that scripture that said the word is like a double-edged sword that pierces through the bones and the marrow, even the spirit. Like, it's almost like there are two dimensions to you. Now, biology fundamentally identifies with you as your body. So in the concept of biology, there is body. Now, there is the concept of psychology. Psychology identifies you as a soul, right? So that lives in a body. Now, it depends on what type of psychologist you are. Some of them actually believe you might have something called a spirit. But they fundamentally believe that you are your soul. You just live in a body and you might have a spirit. Now, the Christian experience, which is the dimension we're going to, so we want to x-ray this whole conversation about your sense of well-being through the lens of the spiritual life. The spiritual life does not start with you being a soul living in a body. The spiritual life starts with you being a spirit, having a soul, and living in a body. So if you come from the prism of Sigmund Freud or Carl Jung and all those psychologists, they did great work. But the concept of the work there is almost like, I begin with you being a soul, and then you live in a body, and then you might have a spirit. Now, the spiritual life says you are a spirit, you live in a body, but you have a soul. So it's actually very different. Now, they're both right. It depends on the school of thought you're coming from. Every curriculum that has approached human being have almost approached us first from the fact that we are a soul. And there are five components of the soul. The soul has imagination. It has will. It has intellect. It has the mind. And it also has the emotions. Right? So those are five components of your soul from how they dimensioned it. Right? But the reality of things is that the spirit of man is actually a revelation that you have to come into. So first of all, you cannot just continue to live life on the premise of what the soul and what you've been educated to believe, because the soul at any point in time is a projection of interactions of culture. So you believe you who you are because your father told you that's who you are. Your mother told you who you are. So everything about who you are based on the concept of your soul is a memory at work, memory in motion. So the reality is that it's not necessarily wrong, but as you continue to do life, you realize that it might be inadequate to articulate who you are. So you then have go into crisis. So that's why crisis, in concept of spiritual life, mental health is actually the yearning of the soul to reclaim its full home. So in the context of spirit or the Christian experience, mental health crisis is just simply the yearning of the human soul to return home to rest in God. So guys, we're going to look at a scripture, Luke 15, right? Let's go to the prodigal son story. So there are two dimensions of interpreting the Bible. The first dimension of interpreting the Bible, in terms of the Hebrew culture, they have the masculine interpretation and they also have the feminine interpretation of the Bible. So the reality of the feminine and the masculine interpretation is not a gender thing. They are just layers of what they mean. So for instance, if you read the book of, if you read about Abraham on a level, from the masculine interpretation is the Hebrew guy who through him God established a nation. So it is simply almost a literal meaning. But when you understand the deeper meaning, which is the feminine interpretation of the Bible, you see that Abraham is a spiritual prototype of the Christ. So the feminine meaning is almost like the hidden meaning of a scripture. That's what it means. It's like the concealed part. So it's not a gender thing. Let nobody be confused about it. So whenever you read a scripture, ask yourself, this is the surface meaning. What's the deeper meaning? So when you understand Abraham was a prototype of the Christ, but also Abraham is a prototype of the Christ in you. So what that means is that just the way God called Abraham out of the halls of the Chaldeans and started to journey with him into the promised land, and Abraham started to evolve and was discovering the Christ in him, and then he tapped into the promise. That's the same way God calls every one of us from a culture of conditioned mind. And all of us begin that journey of reclaiming ourselves. Who is Sarah? The surface meaning of Sarah is that Sarah is actually like the wife of Abraham. But the deeper meaning of Sarah is that she's the bride in waiting, is the church. That Sarah was speaking of the church that tarried with her virtue, but in the fullness of time, she will give birth to the child of promise, right? And indeed, it will bloom. So every scripture, now when you think about Isaac, and you think about Eliezer, that story where Eliezer was sent to go and bring wife for Isaac. So you now meet in that context, Rebecca was like the church. Eliezer was, the meaning of Eliezer, that was like the Holy Spirit that goes to prepare the church for the bride to come. So don't always stay at the surface meaning of scripture. When you think about the surface meaning of the people of Israel, or they are not just a tribe, a people that God have called. If not, you'll still be looking for Israel as your home. But the surface meaning is that there was a people God called. But the deeper meaning is that there's a spiritual tribe that God will know by spirit. And it won't be a function of location. It will be a function of revelation. That you now fully identify with who you are in God. So Egypt, in the Bible, Egypt is not just a tribe of people who God hated and decided to drown in water. That thing used to stress me. Egypt was also, on the surface meaning, Egypt was actually a system of oppression. But the deeper meaning is that it was a system of oppression that God comes to judge. And that is not about a people. It's actually about a system, a culture that oppresses the virtue of God, that puts people in slavery. So Egypt in the modern world is an ideology, is an ism, is a movement. It's actually anything that reduces man, dimensions man in the context of his fallen, broken versions. Right, and it's not allowing you to come to the fullness of who you are in God. So seek for the deeper meaning of every scripture. Every scripture. Now, when you think of the promised land was not just a place. The deeper virtue, which is the feminine, the hidden meaning of the promised land, it was speaking of the coming Christ. A place where people will never need to yearn or seek because they're already home. So, guys, we begin our reading from Luke 15. Who is reading for us? It's going to be a wrong one. We are going to the prodigal story. Funny enough, this prodigal story, how can we be talking about mental health and the prodigal comes to mind? You'd have been thinking, is that place where Elijah was telling God, Anolemio? Okay, so we are go to Luke 15. From what verse, please? Have you guys seen it? Luke. From 11. So who has a sonorous voice here? Okay, hey guys. Finally, we're here. All right. I want us to read together. Now, the reason why I want us to read together is because some things will jump at you. So tribe is both a prophetic church and a teaching church. And because we're an apostolic movement, you cannot be either. So you have to engage your mind and engage your spirit because you're picking things. You understand? So don't even for a second let your mind drift. Bring it here. So guys, let's read it together. I want to go. No, Peter, give us TPT now. Give us our beloved. It's not like it's different anyway, but let's just think about it. Then Jesus said, once there was a father with two sons. Okay, so let's dwell here. What is the Hebrew word for father? Abba. And what is the meaning of Abba? Nedu? You should get a bride for your gift. No. I shouldn't be looking for Nedu's trouble right now because he's been marked with the blood. All right, guys, but he's actually right. So what I need you guys to keep in mind, first of all, he said that once there was a father with two sons. So what we see here is the deeper meaning of this scripture is not just that there's a father that has two sons. It's that there is a source from which two people were planted and one decided to embark away from the source. Do you see that? So that's what you just keep in mind. There is the father, but there is the Abba, there is the source. So let's keep going. 12. Next. The younger son came to his father and said, "Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me?" So the father went ahead and distributed among two sons their inheritance. Now, when you actually, that word inheritance, when you do the study of that word, is actually the word that you get there is bios. Bios is where you get the word of biology. So it's actually bios. Bios means life. So it wasn't so much that the father gave them stuff, but the father gave life. So that's what the deeper meaning, that was the deeper meaning in that context. Yes, two of them. Okay, let's go. 13. Shortly after that, the younger son packed up all his belongings and traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far land where he soon wasted all he was given in a bunch of extravagant and reckless living. Next. With everything spent, nothing left, he grew hungry, for there was a severe famine in the land. So he begged a farmer in that country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. Now, let's even dwell for a second. We've seen a picture. He has moved away from home. So in a sense, if you reconcile this event with John 15, verse 4 and 5, what's happening to him? It's a branch falling off the tree. That's what you're seeing. Yeah. He's out of source. He's out of alignment. Right? So every life you experience out of alignment to produce mental crisis. So the definition of mental crisis is a spirit or a soul that have left home and is now looking for home in all the wrong places. Because home was written into your soul. You will need home. You will seek home. The question is, you seek in the wrong places. Addiction, attachments, all of those things will now become a product of that soul that is yearning to find home. But we find that he has now gone. There is famine in the land, because famine is where you is the outcome of not being in source. Right now, he goes. The interesting thing about it, the Jews don't like pork. They don't eat pigs. Baba got a job to feed pigs. So that's the lowest of the low. But let's read. So he begged the farmer in that country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. Next. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to the pigs because no one would feed him a thing. Humiliated, the son finally realized he was doing, and he thought, "There are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop?" Now, he remembers something about himself. I have a place. I have a home. I have source. And he was saying, even if I have misbehaved badly, that I can't be taken back as a son, at least if I qualify as a slave, there is still, once you are in source, you are still going to be well fed. So we see the thinking here. Let's see, read 18. "I want to go back home to my father's house, and I will say to him, 'Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you.'" Let's go. "I'll never be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees." Next. So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him in his arms, hugged him deeply, and kissed him over and over again with tender love. Now, don't forget that whenever we teach about this, one of the things we tell people that oftentimes we tend to emphasize how prodigal the son was. But the message of Jesus was not so much about the prodigality of the son, but the generosity of the father's love. That regardless of the son's misbehavior, the father was willing to accept him, not just accept him, qualify him back, throw a party. You understand? What we find here, they say that great compassion welled up in God's heart. Yeah. First thing first in this series, as we journey to mental health, the revelation of God is going to impact everything else in your life. So if you don't see a God whose great compassion swells up in his heart, you're going to be seeing a God, Zeus. Yes. And that guy is not very nice. So what people package and sold to many religious or Christians, were actually we package Zeus. God was never revealed as a solitary God sitting idly by looking for whom to devour. That's not the picture Jesus revealed about God, first of all. But this is what it is. Your sociology or your psychology or your biology depends on your theology. So your theology is what you believe about God, right? So your sociology, your psychology, everything depends on your theology. So you don't actually see your theology, but it's feeding everything else. So what is most important? There was something A.W. Tozer said. He said, the most important thought in your life is what you think about when you think about God. Do you agree with that? That the most important thought in your life is what you think about when you think about God. Now, C.S. Lewis, my favorite, came and said something. He said, no, the most important thing in your life is what you think God thinks about you. So on one side is what you think about God, but the deeper truth is what you think when God thinks about you. So this prodigal son knows that if my father sees me, something will move in his heart. So it's not what he thinks about his father, it's what he knows his father will think about him. See, your revelation of God is consistently shaping your self-concept, and it's going to impact on every area of your life. If you were introduced to God who is a murderer, you will murder for him. See, trust me, the 18th century or back in those centuries, the Protestant movement, people were kidnapping fellow Christians because they're in different denominations, burning them. If you're in the Catholic district, your own is finished. And if you are in a Protestant district or a Catholic, you're going to be ashes in a few minutes. But they so deep did it with the love of God, because your revelation of God will become your worldview. Your revelation of God will feed your outlook. If you're writing anything now, I need you to sit for a second and pause and ask yourself, what do I believe about God? Because that might be the source of a mental crisis. If you fundamentally believe that God is always upset with you, you don't need anything. That is a crisis enough. The seed of that crisis is the belief that God is angry. And that's part of why the gospel is a declaration of good news. So this Wednesday, we are starting gospel in Lagos. Clap to it. Guys, we're taking our time to put it together because we feel that many people never quite got a chance to hear the gospel. They've heard many things that was half gospel, half something else. And so they are not seeing the love of the life of God produced for them. And they are saying the gospel no longer works. You didn't hear it. What you heard was something else. But maybe a man's opinion packaged as a gospel. Motivational speaking does not a gospel make. You understand? But it's good. It has a place. But the point again is that after you've motivated, the gospel is not about just inspiring you. It's about opening you up to the inspiration that is within you. So it's not about pouring you something. So you will make it. You understand? That is motivation. But guess the declaration of the gospel. In Christ, you've made it. That's the declaration of gospel. It is too good to be true. Greater than you can imagine. You understand? So the fundamental thing here is you have to calibrate what you believe about God. Because if you believe God does not heal, every time you go through crisis, you would always keep a room that this thing no go work. You'll be wasting my time. I've not laid hands where it didn't work. Of course, except you didn't quite agree. You understand? So, yeah, understand. So after we pervert you, you understand? And we didn't see correspondence. You understand? Because there's a belief there. Like I said, what you think and what you believe. There's some people, they follow that the freeze of fight tight to fight tight. So now they don't know what they believe again. You understand? At the end of the day, you know, trust me, leave people on a deconstruction mission. They're not going anywhere. They've removed the rug. They don't even know what they believe. You now follow them to the free nation. You realize, no freedom here. You understand? Because you've arrived in free nation and you're just realizing that, I'd be like, say, there's nothing here. No. I had a bunch of people at the tribe who used to love deconstruction. They deconstructed, though. They didn't know where to stand again. You understand? Because only you would say, I don't want to speak in tongues. It's like it's gibberish. What are you guys understanding it now? Brother, we understand or not, speakers to us. You understand? Some of them too intellectual for their own good. You understand? They're just sitting down there saying, okay, one of them came to whisper to me, can you tell the leaders not be praying in tongues? Because it threw me off. I said, I thought tribe was a church that could understand. And I said, no, what you tune off at that point in time. You understand? So, but at some point, we actually did that. We tried to call, no, don't make it too much, because a lot of these 80s people just lose their way. And we felt we were called to them. Like, and they stayed for a while. It's just that they were not changing just as fast. They were edit yourself one day. You understand? As one of them said, you know, sometimes you guys feel too Pentecostal. I said, what are we? Like, I'm not thought far. You understand? I didn't know that. You know, some days, you know, I was like, is there another thing? You understand? But my point is that there was a lot of ideology, and today, those ideas can sponsor crisis. Yes. Yeah, that's why we say we're in the world of ism, so where people are believing, I'm a plant. You self-identify as a plant. You self-identify as everything else. That self-identification is actually the basis for your own crisis, but it's not new. This identifier as this is something that is becoming popular. People have been subconsciously identifying as many things. You've always identified as your job. You identify as your role. You just don't know. But when they ask who I am, he said, do you know, Nigeria asks a very important question. Do you know who I am? That question is at the fundamental layer, is that you know power is who you are. You understand? Who will first call? Have you seen two people trying to call? I don't know who they call. Whether it's commissioner of police, is who will pick first? Oga, you'll be taken out of here. You scratch me, you don't want to own up to it. You understand? Yeah, two of them are doing that stuff. It's a power game. But when you say, do you know who I am? It tells us in culture, you are who you know. In our culture, you are who you know. That's why some people will want to just be famsing and chasing clout. Because that clout there helps people feel like, you know, you can't stay in the picture. The person will say, have we met? Said, we should. Right? And then at the end of the day, you know, person say, Dangote and I. You understand? Meanwhile, Dangote was just at the airport waiting for his private jet to prepare so to take off. And in that inner lounge, you just went there and said, my mentor and I, yes, that mentor, we don't know you. Yes, sir. But my point is, you know, cloud chasing is a fundamental problem. But let me go down to why this world is the way it is. So, guys, we've established two things. The prodigal son left home. So what I need you guys to keep in mind, at the foundation of mental crisis in the context of the spiritual life and the context of Christianity, is that people believe they are not in God. And people have drifted away from God. But the reality is that the idea that you're not in God is not true. You are always in God. But what you believe becomes more powerful than what is true. So what I mean is that none of us can leave God. We're always in God. But if you believe that you are not in God, you've actually believed in an illusion. So that illusion of separation is going to cause crisis in your life. So guys, let's draw this map. If you fundamentally believe that all of us have actually been on the prodigal journey for a while. And the reason is that you cannot not be on the prodigal journey because the world has been prodigal. The world itself, the educational curriculum you use is prodigal, and I'll help you see. So let's start with prodigal. Bernard, virtue has departed from here. Please, let's see what it is. So if we fundamentally, I want us to follow this premise. If you now fundamentally believe that this is the prodigal journey, prodigal path, if you believe that you are, I call it the illusion of separation, right? If you believe you are separate from God, right? So that concept of separation, what that fundamentally means is that you are out of source. So if this is source, you're not planted in source. You are away from source. So if you follow that trajectory, separation, what's the next thing that happened? So the guy went away from his father's house. After a while, he became broke. Why did he run out of stuff? Anybody? It was what? It was away from source. So when you believe in separation, guess what follows? Thank you. I think it's more scarcity. More scarcity. It should be more scarcity. So what creates this gap here between separation and scarcity? It tells you that I am not enough. I'm not enough. There's something lacking that I need. It tells you here, between separation and this, I'm not enough. There's something like it. What else do you find there? So when you create that sense of I am not enough, something is lacking, you create hustle. Hustle becomes an attempt to reclaim yourself and to acquire your identity, to attain, to achieve. And the reality of it is that pursuing achievement is not wrong, but we don't work towards achievement. In Christ, you come from the place of achievement. You already achieved. So we're not attaining anything. We are only expressing who we already are. But once you build this in this place, the prodigal son's journey, the moment you believe that you are not in God, you've created a room where you've put yourself outside of source. Therefore, you're not being well watered. You now start finding that identity is something to achieve. Your romance is something to achieve. So when you go into relationship in this context, your relationship is actually that you're going to look for love. In this world of prodigal journey, love is out there to be found. So when you go looking for love, at the end of the day, you will actually date a bit of Tom, Dick, and Harry. And then you realize that love is not forthcoming just like that. Because the reality of the context of this is that it's an illusion. Love was never lacking. Everything in this world is already packaged to sell you an idea. If you look at an ad, they'll tell you, you know, for those of us that work out quite a bit. So at the end of the day, and you know, guys... No, guys, just for guys, take it easy now, right? So, for those of us that work out quite a bit, you know how these things work, you know. It's, you know, the world tells you that if you're chiseled, that's the way to go. Yes. You understand? So a few brothers like Isaac and Bernard might not show up at such critical meetings because we know for sure one pack does not cut it. You understand? One pack does not cut it. So, but guys, what you find in ad is that sometimes, you know, advertising created spec for us.
Yes.
And that spec, and all these guys say, she's not my spec. That's one of them I've blacklisted him. I'm not introducing him to anybody again. Because two people, he said, it's not my spec. I said, come, who you be? Sorry. Like, what is this? Who you be? You know, I said, please. Introducing virtuous people, you are saying, spec. You understand? Are you their spec, Seth? You understand? I know that's not the way to land, but sometimes boys need to be told the truth. The reality of that spec was construct. For a long time, you see, if they want to advertise Lux soap, one of these soap, the lady would just be like Rachel. And she would just have that butter color, you understand? And you would just sit in your black. I'm as dark as charcoal. You understand? In that moment, trust me, they programmed you to think, you know, that's why after they created that thing, they actually used people that were already fair.
Yes.
You understand? No, there's this very white man or very dark man. That the guy took on a personal calling to now expose products that don't work. But he was exposing bleaching screen for which he was very black. Is it that it didn't work for him or he was not interested in finding out? But guys, for those of you that were born that were around in the 90s, in the 90s there was this very big soap called Tura. You understand? No, guys, ask your moms. Ask your mothers. They might have a thing or two to say. But that soap was responsible for a lot of skin cancer. No, but when they... Oh, sorry, guys. Hope they're not here. Right, at the end of the day, but my point is that people were buying it in their numbers.
Yeah.
And a certain tribe in Nigeria bought more than others. You know the tribe?
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Not Benio. Okay, guys. Okay, guys, no, go. See. I think Ibo and Benin, they share them. You understand? No, honestly. No, but by the time they show someone like Rachel, Rachel's color, you understand? Other people go and buy. And they will not arrive at Rachel. They'll look like cotton. Yeah, they'll go beyond. They'll red. Guys, but my point was that advertising has been selling that thing for so long. Just imagine, when they sell success to you, they'll just show one guy. The guy will just wear like a nice tux and just walk, just like, and guys, this is the world that we imagine. And the guy will just walk like I say, he'll just press something, the car will open, he'll go, and the guy will enter, he'll just say, drive. He'll come, then he'll get to a particular restaurant, you just see two girls, they'll just wait for him and say, all the bills on me. You understand? They'll get to where they're selling card. They're selling card. Meanwhile, they've tantalized you with car and everything. You're thinking, I need this card, though. My life depends on it. You understand? So everything in life was actually about, once you understand that you are not in God, you have set up yourself for a crisis of living. One, because everything now looks like it's a promise of fulfillment. And even, unfortunately for us, religion did not move far away. But capitalism capitalized on it. Capitalism, first of all, came and said, everyone has to fit into an assembly line. So you cannot be passionate. You have to, there's a work to be done. So before now, God created us for vocation. You can just see 12, like, I draw for a living. I'm trying to express the creativity of the divine. You understand? In the capitalizing age, they don't put you to the cover bottle. So you have to fit in, right? It was not a vocation, it was a job. Everybody started to just go to work. In fact, they created 9-to-5. You know, before struggle with 9-to-5, even we change it to 10-to-6, it didn't work. You understand? My point is, not all human spirit was designed to be squeezed into a box. You understand? But the point is that some of us are still trying to break out of it. And because, unfortunately for many company owners, if they don't believe in 9-to-5, you Nigerians will make you believe. You understand? We say, guys, we now work for freedom. We're not working from freedom. We're not working towards freedom. We're working from freedom. Guys, send your deliverables by the end of the day. Brother, only you and your email will be looking for deliverables. Guys, I thought we were free. Yes, that's... But my point is, capitalism created that lack, but sold us a solution, and it was all an illusion. First of all, it tells you there is something that is deficient in you. There is something that is lacking in you. And if you buy this, you will get it. Do you know, that's why some people are still, one guy came here, told me he was in school, he was in Guagalada. He was in year two studying agriculture. I said, are you passionate about it? He said, never. No, do you know, the guy said never. I would have thought that, okay. I said, what are you now studying? He said, and it's a 5-year course. And the guy was talking crypto, that he wants to get into crypto. So I now convinced him that tech might be the way. You understand? And I think at the end of the day, he went to his father. Everybody started to call me, say, do you think tech is the way? We need him to focus. I was like, that 5 years in Nigerian university might be 10. Yes. And there is no guarantee. Because you know what? The parents are actually in this grip of, he must have a degree. And I told them, no, there are degrees for which he will get a 6 months training and he will start earning. Why don't you just focus on putting him in the part where you can see results? Because capitalism told us that if you don't go and get a degree, you won't make it in life. Oh. And some people today, their greatest limitation is that they didn't finish school. They just can't get past that mindset that, hey, it's because I didn't finish school now. If I had finished that medicine, it would have been better. Guys, people finished. No, and you know, people finished though. Some people did masters. You understand? So I would see somebody saying, we have to be careful because as a master's degree holder, I'm unemployed in Nigeria. Brother, you mastered nothing. If you have masters and you're broke, you have no mastery. Because at the end of the day, the master was supposed to position you to become a value creator. But there is a belief system. So don't let that thing stop you. Meanwhile, some people, their greatest limitation is that they have a degree. They say, as an engineer, I cannot be seen trying to do other things. You know, I met, guys, and my former driver is so, the guy is okay now. I said, what do you do? He goes to the north. After COVID, we stopped going out, so he lost his job. So now, what he decided to go, he goes to the north to bring goods. And he brings bag of rice, something cheap. And he's selling it in Lagos for 10x. I don't even think it's 10x, maybe 50x. You know, I just know that the guy was looking robust. He was like, ah! You understand? He's even looking for more money to bring more goods. And I'm thinking, Nigeria is so funny. So a 4 tomato is 1,000 naira. I don't know how much it is. In Lagos, you just take 20k bus. You've seen a carton of this thing for less. You understand? But the guy is creating value. My point is that he didn't think of himself, I can only drive. When there was no job, he asked himself, what else can I do? See, your mental health crisis will always be there if you identify as other things, anything other than Christ. Because if you identify as a role, the day they take that role from you, it's crisis. If you identify as a contract, the day you don't get that contract, it's crisis. So if we talk about all the crises we're going through, if you pay attention to them, they are sponsored by beliefs. They are sponsored by the things in you. So capitalism created this whole idea that you're not enough. Everybody enter what they call the rat race. Have you seen Lagos in the morning? Like 6, 8, 9, everybody's on the road. That's why we value people like Ike. Ike comes out at 10 or 11. When the traffic has reduced, Ike is now coming out. You understand? My point is that capitalism programmed that, then consumerism became the outcome. So people buy and buy. Do you know, mental health today, some people will tell you, I don't sleep enough. Some sleep too much. There is still suspect. For less sleep or too much sleep, we might need to have a conversation. I don't eat a lot, or I don't eat at all. Suspect. I eat a lot. Suspect. No, honestly, there is a sense that this sense of mental health actually manifests in different places. So the reality is that 1 in 4 people actually, they said, have a potential for mental health. Now, this is a continuum. And the reality of Nigeria is that nobody educates you in mental health, so it can be mental. That's why we say, you the craze, honestly. No, you the craze is actually just a genuine question. I don't see why anybody should be angry with that. You the craze means, are you okay? No, honestly, I'm just trying to imagine how the tension is there. So if you come from this place of separation, before we go into the second journey, you realize that separation breeds scarcity, scarcity breeds survival. So once they tell you that there's not enough resources, they created the concept of scarcity. And I keep telling you guys, the kingdom of God doesn't joke. We've been fishing since fish has not finished. You understand? You've been farming, and like they'll tell you, the earth is going to finish. It's not finishing. God built renewal into the system. And I'm not saying I'm not climate friendly. I'm climate conscious. But the fundamental thing is that scarcity has entered into everything else. And that's why some people believe that husbands don't finish. Yeah. The capital, it started from here. It has entered in places you never know. Carry you going where you don't know. So at the end of the day, even some, I met someone that told me that, fair, I don't go lie, wife don't finish for Lagos. I said, have you been to the tribe? Do you know what you're talking about? And he said he has dated too. From our dear tribe. My heart was broken. I spoke too quickly. No, well, but my point again is their self-concept, you understand? So guess what? He now believes that there is not enough good women. And guess what? That believer, he'll be meeting unavailable. He'll be meeting a lot of unavailable because his scarcity is always manifesting. Like I said, your self-concept is a prophecy. It's just unspoken. But it's speaking for you, whether or not you know it. So when they now created something called survival of the fittest, biology carried you and entered there. They programmed you. And in that programming, they told you that in Darwin, he was like, how do you put it again? That at the end of the day, the strongest species will survive and the weakest ones will die. You understand? Brother, created a food chain, showed us how the jungle is. And some people believe in that thing. You understand? But once you believe in survival of the fittest, if you're working from survival, you realize that there is a way you are about competition. Yeah. Very unhealthy for you. Just having somebody that is just as good as you at work, your mental health has now, your mental health is in crisis. They'll say, are you okay? You say, I don't know. You understand? At the end of the day, you are not. So honestly, there's someone that he said he has high level, high performance anxiety. So this high performance anxiety is that he wants to, he performs. You understand? But the anxiety is that there's the tension to the performance. It's very important, you understand? So he puts too much mental energy on small tasks. Over ideate. You understand? Just overcome. And then some companies like to hire that. Yeah. He's always on top form. You understand? He doesn't go to bed. Brother, hiring somebody that needs help. Because at the end of the day, what is feeding that performance? Once you get to that survival of the fittest, you have to perform to live. So performance, you are seeking approval from your bosses, you are seeking approval from fans, you are seeking approval. That is a recipe for mental crisis. Every time you outsource your meaning, every time you outsource your validation, every time you outsource your significance, you are creating a recipe for your disaster. Because your meaning was never meant to be something you get from outside in. It was always something you bring from inside out. Love was never something you get from outside in. Love was something you find first before the world encounters it in you. Don't ever believe the lie that there is something missing or lacking in you. That is the recipe for the crisis we are facing today. Every dimension of your life, you look at it. Someone was telling me that, Fred, you know, I'm very anxious. Another, I saw him, was tension all over the place. He was calm. I said, you're not showing anxiety. He said, my anxiety is holding the anxiety. You understand? I'm like, no, honestly, anxiety. And then when you know some people, they've been so traumatized by stress that they perform best under crisis. When everybody else is saying, they say, hey, brother, we're about to kick it off. And you understand? They just know how to kick it. What is that? The product has failed. Oh, yeah? Guys, tonight by 12. You know, meanwhile, others were like, what did we do wrong? Because those ones were functioning in seemingly normal. You understand? Those ones need crisis. And companies, that's why we need crisis management. Because some people are actually built for that. But we live in perennial crisis in 21st century. If you now go and raise money, you go and promise people, your KPIs you know you cannot meet. But the money was sweet and you just tired of, you needed to raise. Just say, so we're going to give you 1,000 downloads every week. We're looking at right now. No, trust me, when you meet some startup like this, you say, what's better? So we're better than Paystack and Flutter we put together. So the way it works is like, you understand? Oh boy. They will bugger their way and they'll collect. No, trust me, it's actually, they buy that, so they profile that thing, promise. And guess what? You just created a recipe for a disaster. Because that investor can say, only 2,000 downloads, we are so far from the mark. I thought we said we're doing 50,000 downloads monthly. And you're like, my goodness. That's what we're saying. You see, now Nigerians are broke. There is inflation. The man said, did you see inflation before you guys said we should give it? We're taking this company for you. See where you're going. You understand? Are you going to look for prayer? Pastor Fred, you are begging. This thing is beyond us. You understand? Before you make a promise, understand the realities. Don't be pressurized by your idea of success to make promises you can't keep. Yes, sir. Because the way that in the last 2 years, Lagos was on a spree of raise. You understand? Like, just check WhatsApp. Hey, give 200 million, $22.5 million everybody was raising. Even some that they've not even signed the term sheet have gone to announce. You know, it was almost like there was this pressure to raise. And then last year, the cracks were now showing. Because at the end of the day, if you package a whitewashed sepulcher, it will show. You're never meant to be under the pressure. You are already a success. You're not working towards success. So the reality is that don't feel pressured to go and make promises. Some people's goals are just too vanity driven. You want to be the biggest of the biggest of the best. It's a great idea. But it comes at a mental cost. Look at some of these men. You don't understand Jeff Bezos. His wife left him for a teacher. And it's not because teachers are bad. The man has time. He has time. And the wife's love language is time. The man was there helping the kid. You understand? And what's the other one again? Bill Gates. After him and Melinda built the world, Melinda was like, I just feel I'm married to a robot. This guy's brain doesn't sleep. You understand? And she's now enjoying half the money. Was it half she collected? Quite a significant bunch. Right? And she's not happily ever after. Because somewhere they told us men that success was the ultimate. And most of us raised in all these Igbo Yoruba homes is a very big deal. And you must succeed at all costs. You cannot pretend. You have to succeed. You understand? And that's part of why I also know that men, even this mental crisis that we are laying as a foundation, is even higher for the men. Because the culture didn't have a proper way to raise us. So you know that you're not supposed to cry in public. Be a man. Yeah, lock it in. No, lock it in. So the reality, guys, this is what I'm saying. I remember there was somebody that actually jumped into Tunmilan Bridge and all his friends were saying, oh, he was happy the night before. We hung out the other week. Kiniko. Nobody saw it coming. Because everybody was too interested in just snapping the moment than experiencing the moment. And nobody was present enough to know that somebody needed help. So if you're a man where you're bought into the idea that your masculinity is fragile when you show weakness, mental health is coming if it's not here. Understand? So because you were never designed not to be vulnerable, you were never designed to feel like to be intimidated. And so those guys that feel like I'm feeling, you understand? You understand? It's almost like they raise you to be emotionally extinct. Yeah. So the more you are not in touch with your feelings, the better for you. Understand? I don't like this man where they cry like that. And it's so uncomfortable to watch movies where they make you cry. You understand? Just see the men were like, the movie was there, so I'll keep it on the five-ish. No, trust me. All those men that went to watch Trouble with Jesus, it's on the five-ish. The ones that are saying, I love it. Brother, you love it? We need a conversation. My point is, be sure you're not building on the wrong foundation. When you believe that God is nothing, you, God is outside of you, everything prepares you for crisis. And that's what Lagos is dealing with, right? You know, our generation is so medicated. Trust me, you don't even know they have. So medicated, right? And when you now start to add an energy drink and caffeine, you realize that this high performance, this culture of don't sleep, wake up. No grief for anybody, you understand? That culture of no grief for anybody. Guys, no. You were never meant to, that's no grief. If that's your recipe for the year, you are already not aligned to flourish. You understand? We are not in any competition. We're not competing with anybody. We are already arrived. So there are no grief for anybody. That thing, trust me, some people, when they go back at night, 2 pills, Valium to keep them awake, another one to help them eat. You understand? Some people have you might not know, but these things are real. So when you now understand that if you're not at home in God, guess what's going to happen? Your life will start yearning for home. And guess where you land? Addiction. Addiction is such a dangerous place to be. Because at the end of the day, it changes the structures of your brain. Yes. No, if I was going to show you drug addiction and even porn addiction, if you show it now, you see that the people's brain, something has gone awful. That's why they ask you, what's your number? 234. Here they come. You understand? Brother, that number, you've pawned it away. You understand? With pun intended. Pun intended. You understand? Guys. So today is actually just help you crack into understanding that life. But those guys know stuff. I think Pastor Martin shared a post where he said that even Pornhub have a plan. Their plan is to convert straight men to gay. Because gay, they subscribe. They pay. So they need paying customers. And so at first, when you go there, you are seeing things. For those of you that have gone, you understand? You are seeing things, you are thinking, and then the next day, said, anyway, you know, and then this porn, and you know how porn addiction works? Your last high, you need to surpass it too. And last time it was you, and the next time you need a threesome, because the way it works, you alone, the enoughness is now manifesting that you need. So you now realize that stories, some people now come up with ideas, swing, like you just hear some very unnecessary sexual problems. You understand? That's why one comedian gave us a story that, you know, all these people that will do and gonna be tying themselves. You understand? How is that the imago dei? The image of God, you understand? You know, somebody asked me one day, Pastor Freddy, what's the position of tribe about sex toys? You know, I said, we never reach there. No, trust me. Some people are like, I beg, house on the rock, they're down the road, though. You understand? Like, those ones must have thought about, like, how is your first day in church? You're asking questions about what's your position? Like, you know, we're still in union. We've not even started talking about issues. But honestly, some people are carrying a lot. So, and if you carry that, it's going to impact on you. So, guess what? Every addiction, the flip side of every addiction is disconnection. It is the lack of connection that is producing a desire. So, addiction is an attachment that is anchored on the wrong thing. Reality is that every time, today, once you search, they are helping you. And that's why I feel guys are not showing up. I personally feel that guys have, they are really worse hito. Because Instagram now, the way soft porn, I was following one account. The guy was talking something very nice. You know, he was saying some very interesting history thing. And one day I just saw big bomb bomb on the, like, no, trust me, I was so confused. Because it was on Instagram. I said, where did I follow this? Like, I was not trying to unfollow and I couldn't unfollow. I wasn't sure what was happening. In this stuff, I restricted him, even blocked himself. You know, I think he was promoting a product. But very rubbish. I even thought that maybe his account was hacked. I'm not even checking. I was like, rubbish. I was going to send him a long message. This is, you understand, this is a shame. You have to choose your audience, because you cannot tell us that you are sharing inspiring information about history of Africa. Those of us that are always, the colonized mind must be decolonized. You understand? And we followed the decolonizer, and the decolonizer was now bringing another, just bringing color through the back door. No, honestly, but my point is that, and if you see this person, looks so responsible, so I'm realizing now, perhaps. But guys, anybody that is following you for that kind of content, that person is in trouble. And that's why some men now, every small thing, they don't go slide into somebody's DM and say, hey, babe, you look familiar. Were you in secondary school? Focus. There is no secondary school whatsoever. There was a flesh scene, and you were, that spirit of lust burning so passionately. Well, my point again, if you're searching for a wife, focus. I don't think sliding into four people's DM. What if the four of them say, I'm ready? Another crisis. So guys, but if you profile this whole life of mental health, I think it's very important to understand you're not what you drive. You're not where you live. You're not what you understand. You're not where you work. You're not what you earn. When you begin to sit still with yourself and ask yourself, why do I have all the problems that I have? You start to see that at the core is the belief that God is not there. And that creates a sense of unworthiness. Finally, let me wrap up on religion. I also think it's important because that we must understand that the gospel in itself is something that many people have bought even into a life. Religion that comes to you and starts to tell you that God is outside of you. God is lost. God is angry. They create this desire where there's a blessing that you need to achieve. So the way you participate in this blessing is to sow a dangerous seed. And then they create a problem around your life and give you the solution. So by the time you do this, you realize that is not spirituality. Spirituality is not about seeking God. It's about realizing that God has given himself, right? It's really that God took the initiative to find you. So every religion that thrives on distance and delay, that thrives on scarcity, will exploit you but never fulfill you. Because you were never meant to give anything to get. You were already in Christ. You were meant to live from that place of enoughness, right? And so it's important for us to begin, as we sit on this mental health, because this is an introduction. And Jeffrey, I'm so sorry because the introduction is long. But as we process on this introduction, I need us to really reflect. I'm going to take a few questions on what is your lifestyle now and how are you planning to shift or to change, right? If there is anything today that anytime you go through work, you feel debilitated. You don't pick calls. You don't answer phone calls. You don't reply emails. That's one of my friends. He doesn't just reply phone calls. He doesn't answer phone calls. He said, I'm not going to lie. He doesn't see the phone, they ring. You understand? And he said what happens to him is that if he has failed to deliver to a client, maybe he has given them timeline because in design world, and he has not met that timeline, every call puts pressure on him. So the more you call him, you're breaking him, right? So I now told him that don't take job for which you cannot deliver now. You understand? So you can manage that expectation. If you're going to mess up your brand, see, the world is more complicated than you know. But you cannot now buy into the idea that you are not important. You are important too. You are enough. You're blessed. You're worthy. You're perfect in God's eyes. It is what God believes about you that defines you. It's not anything that you experience that defines you. Your worth is in Christ. You know the dimension? What God gave to reclaim you is the proof of your worth. He took the life of God to reclaim you. Therefore, you're worth the life of God. And he calls you the apple of his eyes, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Others are fine, they're fine, but you are not ugly. You are just a different type of fine. You understand? And guess what? There is a wife and a husband for everyone. Don't go and now start dragging somebody's boyfriend, you understand? Because there is this sky, best know they clash. You understand? So don't always feel like somebody has to lose for you to win. Capitalizing programmed you to believe that somebody has to lose for you to win. And you're living life out of scarcity. You will constantly manifest scarcity. You don't need to be... And I told somebody on Wednesday, the moment you know you don't need relationship, you're ready for it. This relational longing need. You will put a burden on somebody that you never designed to carry. Because that relational longing need, that relationship, your insecurity, you will outsource it. And you put on them and say, call me all the time, visit me all the time. You know why? At some point, your coping mechanism growing up must be that the people who were supposed to take care of you didn't love you enough. They didn't do time with you. So now the relationship is seeking that. And it's just the way what life is. We call them collective trauma. Living in Nigeria itself is a collective trauma. You understand? You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I don't know why, when e-commerce was coming, well, like, yeah, the next unicorn, they are still a corn. No, and do you know why they are still a corn? You know, like, because we're really thinking that they'll become like the fintechs, you understand? E-commerce never quite took off. Guess what? I won't see what they buy. So Nigerian trust deficit is actually in the way. Do you know, if you take the percentage of Nigerians that buy on e-commerce, I think they're still very small. Because why? The people just can't trust. You know, we put it all the time, what I ordered and what I got. And we're laughing about it, but that's part of why it's in the room. So meanwhile, the founders of the e-commerce have told the consumers, we have 250 million people in my country. We're planning to close up at least 10% of that market within the next 3 years. 10%, you know, like, am I going to 10x and an average revenue? Or some person can buy like 5k. You go see the investors, please, where do I tell them? Please, I have to invest in this product. You understand? Until you come back home and realize that you don't even see 1%, if not 0.01%. So guys, when you enter the prodigal son's journey, there is a second level that I want us to dwell on, maybe another Sunday or the next. And that is the concept that the guy was at home, but he was not at rest. And when you find that in that context, he was at home, but he had a slave mindset. See, many of us have been programmed to be a slave, not a son. But God did not come to redeem slaves and let them stay slaves. He came to change identity that were translated from the kingdom of darkness into light. So a son does not need his father's approval to kill a chicken. And that man told his son that if you ever wanted a party, you could have thrown one. Right? So we must also enter into rest. Amen. Is this a good introduction? Yes, sir. Mona clap. So I want us to, in the next few minutes, I think we'll take like 3 questions. Let's sort of like navigate it a bit. We're going to dwell on this for quite a bit. And how you can break free from addiction, how you can really detach from the attachments, the false attachments, how you can really combat at the core of your being that sagging sense of self-esteem that keeps knocking on your door. Rejoice. That keeps knocking on your door and making you vulnerable. So any question?
Before we pray.
Okay, I think we don't have any question. Let's pray. What I want us to really pray of is back to the scripture that has become our plank. If you abide in me and I abide in you, my life, you know, will flow through you and into all that you do. So Father, we are praying that you will beam the searchlight of your love into our hearts. Every part of our being that does not reconcile with the truth of who you are. places we've gone to bond with ourselves, places we left parts of ourselves, places where we've allowed this pursuit for wealth to reduce us, to compromise our integrity, to do things that we're not proud of, to be people we cannot recognize because we wanted to get some applause and acceptance and validation and approval. But your word actually says to us that we're already approved, we're already validated, we're already fully accepted in the beloved. And Father, we are praying that today we will be drilled and drowned in the truth of who we are in you. Father, open our eyes to see the lies that culture have programmed us to have. We are not our mind, yet we have the mind. We're not the patterns we go through. We're not the lies that we begin to live out, but we are your very imago Dei. Father, we pray today that every part of our lives that have become bonded to wrong things, to people, to things, to places, we demand that we declare freedom. And I want to speak to someone here as we close. And for much of last year, you were battling suicidal thoughts. You kept just pushing it. And it wasn't so much that you wanted to really die. You just were tired of the life you were living. You were tired of just having to go from one point to another. And it didn't seem like there was an end in sight because everything was a struggle. Every time you attempted, it failed. And you somehow felt that the world would be better off without you and your siblings would be better off with you not there. But God is saying that you're worthy of my affection and the world is better because you're here. That there is more smiles ahead of you. There are more hugs, more places to visit, more things to do than your eyes can see. So don't let the lies that of the enemy saying that you're not enough, you're more than enough, you're important. What you experience is not your worth. What you've been through is not the truth of who you are. So we declare today that your mind is sound. And that soundness of mind will work its way down to you, that the Holy Spirit will reparent you to reclaim all of you. The Holy Spirit in you that abides in you will remind you the truth of your being and open your eyes to become aware of who you are in the Father and who you are in Him, that you will never need to carry the burden of unworthiness. You never need to traffic in that trance of unworthiness where you feel like I am not worthy. You are worthy of His love, you are worthy of His affection. And even after you've been through people that put you down, rejected you and castigated you and wrote you off, God is saying that those guys that threw you out, they could not see the gem that you are, for they were not needed for the next season of your life. I, the Lord, was pruning you like I prune the tree so that you can bear more fruit and your fruit would abide. Don't take your pruning as a judgment, for God does not judge you to condemn you, for God prunes to purify and refine you so that the beauty that you are will be displayed. You're a unique wonder and a magic to your world. You will live out the true essence of your being and not will cut you short in that. We silence the voice of the enemy that calls us to nothingness, that calls us to inadequacy. Say, I'm complete in Him. I'm perfect in love. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm one with God. My mind is one with God. My mental health is one with God. My mental health is the space that the Lord has blessed. It's the field that the Lord has blessed. I have a sound mind. I have joy. I dwell in the presence of the Lord. There is nothing deficient in me. There is nothing lacking in my life. I am complete. I reclaim myself in full. I reject every self-rejection. And I nestle myself in full self-acceptance. As God have accepted me in the beloved, so I accept myself. As God has qualified me in the beloved, I stand qualified. There is no condemnation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, guys.
You can log on to thetribelagos.com or email us at hello@thetribelagos.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter on The Tribe Lagos. God bless.